Turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3, doing the second part of the prayer of intercession, Paul's prayer of intercession, Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. Last week, of course, we looked at the first half of that section. This morning, we will look at the latter part. Let me read all of these verses, though, verses 14 to 21 of Ephesians 3. Paul writes, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." Last week we looked at the fact that this is a prayer that Paul has written out, and it was even possible that he was on his knees while he wrote this. He was praying this prayer for that church. And I believe this is a prayer that extends from there to here and even the next generations that will come and be a part of the church, that this is a prayer for us. This is for us to grow in. This is a prayer that these things would happen in our lives. Last week we looked at some of the things, of course, that he was praying for, that we would be, God would grant us to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in our inner man, who we really are would be strengthened in Christ, and that would come out in the way that we live, and that Christ would dwell in our hearts by faith. This morning I want to take up from that point there in the middle of verse 17 for the other things that Paul was praying for us. And the first thing here is that we might be able to plumb the depths of who Christ is. He says there in the middle of verse 17 that you, being rooted and grounded in love, and we'll look at that in just a minute, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height. The phrase "may be able" there in verse 18 that he uses in other places, and you may have a different translation of it in your Bible, but in the emphasized Bible, the phrase there is translated, "maybe mighty enough." And if you have an NIV this morning, it says, "may have power." So the emphasis here is that we might be empowered to comprehend. It's not something that we're born with. This ability to comprehend God is not something we're born with. It must be given to us. We must have a power from on high to comprehend the depths of Christ. Will we ever figure it all out here? I doubt it very seriously. I think it's pretty clear in Scripture that we will not figure it all out. I do believe that we will have all eternity, though, those of us who are in Christ, to plumb those depths. But in the meantime, Paul says, start now. Start now to comprehend. And he prays you might have the ability to do that, that you might have the power to do that. So where does it come from, the power? Well, it comes from being rooted and grounded in love. The word "rooted" is a reference to a deeply planted tree. It brought to mind for me Psalm 1, where the righteous man is planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth his fruit in his season. In other words, that tree in Psalm 1 is not a wild tree. It's not growing wildly and it just happened to spring up there. It's planted there by God, by the streams of living water. When you come to Christ, when Christ calls you and you become one of his, he plants you by the rivers of water, and you bring forth that fruit that would come from that. And then also he uses the word "grounded." And of course this points to a foundation, like a building on a good foundation, not on sand, but on the rock. And he wants us to be rooted and grounded in love. Now, what are the benefits of growing deeper in Christ? Why would we care to plumb the depths of Christ? Well, let me offer and submit a few benefits of growing deeper in Christ. The first one would be that our desires begin to reflect his desires. We want what he wants. Our ability to handle everyday circumstances on a more mature level is increased when we plumb the depths of Christ. Our love for His people begins to be on par with love for ourselves. In other words, He says, love your neighbor as yourself. We don't have to be told to love ourselves. That comes naturally. We have to be told to love others. Well, what is this idea of loving others? Well, it could easily be that we're concerned for the welfare of their agenda as well as our own. Philippians tells us to be concerned more for other people, really, than you are for yourself in many cases. Another benefit of plumbing the depths of Christ is we are more willing to give up our rights so that others might be ministered to. We're willing to sacrifice. Someone mentioned this morning already the sacrifice that they saw in their mother. When we're willing to sacrifice what might be our right for the benefit of others, we are understanding Christ more. God's law is not burdensome. It's liberating. Instead of feeling like you're in chains because you follow the law of God, you actually feel liberated because you follow the law of God. It is something that brings comfort and joy and peace in your life. It's not a burden. Christ never thought of the law of God as a burden. He always did exactly right, and it was liberating. He lived a life of liberation. Coming into the home now, if you are plumbing the depths of Christ, husbands will be more willing to lay down their lives for their wives, which is what the Scripture tells us to do. We don't always do that well. But as we become more like Christ, that becomes something that is easier to do. Wives will begin to uplift their husbands with a righteous respect for their husband's ordained calling as the protector and the authority in the home. We were talking about that recently. I used the word authority in the home in a conversation, and the person that heard it didn't like the word authority. They said, that sounds too strong. You probably shouldn't use that word. And I said, well, how about protector? And he said, yeah, I like that better. But then we began to discuss among ourselves here, you can't have protection without authority. A man cannot protect his home unless he's in authority to do so. There's no protection. And so the wife begins to uplift her husband in this calling that is his, rightfully given, for her own protection and the protection of the children. When it comes to children, as the level of Christ and understanding of who He is increased, they're changed on a personal level. And the deeper walk of the parents will affect them in hopefully a positive way. And then finally, and this is not an exhaustive list by any means, but a strong desire to have more time for true worship becomes evident. You begin to desire a time of worship. It's not something that you tack on the week and sometimes even wish that it was not there because you have something else planned. It's quite the opposite. As you become more like Christ, you want to worship. And you look forward to those times. And you might even desire more opportunities, and I think that you would. And those opportunities are both personal, corporate, family-oriented, or times when they just spring up. You ever had one of those times where you were just going along in your day and the Lord put somebody in your path that thought like you did and you began to talk about the Lord and before long you were worshiping? You might even be praying with them. That is a wonderful thing that happens. It happens to me sometimes where I'm working on somebody's machine or something and we get into a conversation and they find out what I do and then I find out that they love the Lord and they love the doctrines that I love, and sometimes it leads to a time of prayer. You find out that they have a strong need in their life. Those are wonderful God-sent times of worship. We long for those when we are plumbing the depths. The other thing, not only does He want us to comprehend, to plumb those depths of Christ, but He does say that. He says He wants us to be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height. He wants us to truly know the love of Christ, verse 19, which passes knowledge. The word comprehend that He uses there is to know. And it is stronger than that. It is the idea of grasping or laying hold of something so as to make it one's own in an effective manner. It's not like you just know it in your head. You can know something and it not be yours. This is different from that. It is this idea of grasping after it and digging for it so that you know more and you have more, not only to live with, but to share with others. A.T. Robertson writes that this is no isolated privilege. In other words, it's not just for a couple of people. It's not like we sit around and we say, well, that Christian is just a deeper Christian than me, and so they're plumbing the depths of Christ. I, however, just am glad I'm going to heaven. I don't really care about learning more about Christ. And Robertson says, no, it's not an isolated privilege. It is for all the saints. It is for all of those who believe. As we slowly comprehend God, we plumb the depths of Christ, we're going to better understand the love that He has for us. And that's going to be limited. We have a limited knowledge here on this earth. But Paul's idea here is to admonish us to strive to know all that we can while we are here. It is to experience the love of Christ. I know last year we looked at 1 John, and he begins that epistle with that which is from the beginning, which we have heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. And he talks about this idea of looking upon. It means to gaze for a long time in order to study it, understand it, and to grasp it. It also means to look intensely and earnestly and to grasp the significance and meaning of it. There's so much more to Christ than simply knowing that He existed, knowing that He was a great prophet, knowing that He died on the cross even. I mean, the demons believe these things, but they don't believe them with significance. It is not something that changes their life. So you can have a knowledge of these things. You can be lost and know a lot about the Bible. You can be lost, know more about the Bible than some people that are saved. I have experienced that in my own life, where people that did not believe in the resurrection, that didn't believe the Bible to be true, knew a lot about it, though, and could argue it better than many believers. So you can have this knowledge and it not be significant, not make a change in your life, not have any meaning for you whatsoever except a point of argument and debate. He wants us to know Christ intimately, the right way, a life-changing way. He goes on, he says in verse 19, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. I think all that Paul has been talking about here and praying for is that these things that he's shared with us in chapters 1 and 2 and 3 up to this point will help us to be filled with the fullness of God as we grasp those things. You're not filled with the fullness of God in ignorance. Now, granted, when you are saved and the Holy Spirit comes into your life, you have an experience of God and maybe even an overflowing of God. But if you remain in ignorance, you may lose that feeling, as it were. It's when we begin to plumb the depths of Christ that we are full, that we get that fullness of God. Now, it's hard to really explain exactly what this fullness is. It's hard to interpret exactly what he might be talking about. But it probably means to be overwhelmed by God's energies, His powers, and His attributes. Well, there has to be an understanding of God to be overwhelmed by those things. Have you ever studied God to a point and it got so big it overwhelmed you and you had to stop? I hope that's happened to you. I hope that you have been sitting down reading the scriptures and been so overwhelmed by what you were reading you actually had to stop because you couldn't handle any more. It was often my practice as I was putting sermons together, especially in my earlier days when I was learning about God, and I would read and it would be like, wow, and I had to get up and walk around. I couldn't handle what was being said to me. I thought, can that possibly be true? This is so much bigger than what I thought it was. And it just keeps getting bigger. I'm still overwhelmed by God, as well I should be. It's maybe similar to a teacup. You know, teacups are real small things. You dip that in, throw that out into the ocean, and what happens? It is overwhelmed. It's overflowing and overwhelming. I mean, and God's bigger than the ocean. And we're smaller than a teacup in this world. Well, do you want to be filled with this? Do you want to be overfilled with the presence of God in your life? Listen, folks, I know we get down. I know some of you get down, maybe even get times of depression in your life. I know you get that way. Do you not want to be overwhelmingly filled by the power of God at that moment? Sure you do. We should also want to be overwhelmed by God when everything's going great. We should want that filling and that overwhelming presence of God in our lives. And Paul is praying that we will get this, that we may be filled with this fullness. I think that when we are rooted and grounded in love, that's going to be step one. Faith, of course, in Christ is the very first step that must be taken in your life, and then be rooted and grounded in love for others. Christ calls us to a love that means laying down our lives. He says, as you know, greater love has no man than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. And though you may not physically lay down your life, you may lay down your agenda, your rights, your will for someone else. And that is similar. Paul says in Philippians, we're to put others before ourselves. It's what Christ did. He had a love that we need to understand. We have a tainted view of love, and it's been helped by the media, television, magazines, the internet, fiction books. Someone mentioned, I think it was Sandy, mentioned that a lot of times the woman will come into a marriage with fantasies about, you know, how wonderful and romantic it's going to be, only to find out that the guy they married is a real person. He's not the knight in shining armor necessarily. He has some things about him that are not very pleasant. You see, that's the reality. But we're painted a picture in our society today of a non-real love, one that doesn't even exist, one that is very fleshly and yet not sacrificial, where the pressure is put on us to be something that really it's unnecessary to become. Because what really matters is the heart. What really matters is whether the heart has been changed. And the answers that the world has almost never touch the heart. They're all external. They're all on the outside. Man's problem is in the heart. Woman's problem is in the heart. The children's problem is in the heart. It's not external. You can fix the outside. But if the inside is not changed by the power of Christ, there is no real change. And all of the dieting and exercising and right eating and anything else that you want to do, which seems to be predominantly in our society today, those have their good points. Don't misunderstand. I enjoy those things. But could I be the best looking person on the outside and be destroying my home at the same time? And the answer is yes, I could be. Because the heart needs to change. We need to be filled with the fullness of God all of the time. Yes, it gets overwhelming at times, and God will back off because He knows how much we can handle. And then He closes His prayer in verses 20 and 21. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Paul is fully aware that the things that he's praying for cannot be accomplished outside the power of Christ. He told the Philippians, in the context of giving, that I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I can have faith and love and abundance through Christ. I can have that. I can be filled with the fullness of God through the power and the mercy of Christ, but not in and of myself. Without the power of Christ in my life, I am relegated to those who've not really experienced Him. They've not experienced the Word of Life. And then Paul's final petition is that Christ would receive all the glory for the work that He does within the church. And I think that's important that he says that. He's praying that God or Christ would be glorified in the church, God's people called together by His word, by His power, called together as a corporate body in the church. Christ is glorified to all generations, not stopping with this one, but moving on. And folks, as we are filled with the fullness of God and the depths and the knowledge of Christ, and we pass that on to our children, the next generation benefits. That is such a biblical concept. That is an undebatable concept in Scripture. But you need to be satisfied in Christ yourself. And John Piper has a tagline that you all are aware of. He says, God is most glorified in me when I am most satisfied in Him. Are you satisfied in God? Is God pleasing to you? Are you wanting to have the faith according to His riches in glory, to be strengthened, to be rooted and grounded in love, to truly comprehend as best we can the depths of Christ and be filled with his fullness. This is for all the saints. This is not for a select few where some seem to have more than others. This is for everyone who names the name of Christ. God is so gracious to pour out his blessing to all of his children. Have you received that blessing today? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the blessings that are in Christ. We do pray for strength. We pray that our lives would honor your name. We pray, Father, that you would strengthen us in the inner man. And Father, that we would live out the righteousness that is Jesus Christ himself, and that you would give us that ability, Father. You alone can bring that about in our lives. Father, if we've come this morning and we're hurting, maybe there's something in our lives that have not been reconciled, and Father, somehow we have broken fellowship with you, we pray that now, at this moment, today, would be a time of fixing that, Lord, that you would see fit to bring about the fix in our lives through your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, if there's one among us who is not saved, Lord, in their heart, it knows that it is darkened. Father, may you enlighten that heart today, and that we would see the miracle of new birth. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.